Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Good morning. Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast. My name is Adam Jasse. I'm deputy editor at Visegrad Insight. Our guest today is Barbara Brodzińska-Mirowska, who is an assistant professor at the Department of Communication, Media and Journalism at the Nicolaus Copernicus University in Toruń. Welcome, Barbara.
Welcome, good morning.
Barbara, for over 15 years, has been researching political parties, the way they function and communicate. Her research interests focus on party activities, political communication, media and political relations. She gave lectures at universities in Poland and abroad. So she is, in my view, ideally placed to discuss recent developments in Poland following the elections in October. And now we are about a month into a new government being installed. So I wanted to start by asking you, there has been a bit of a delay in the transition of power since the October elections. But it seems now that the new government has moved very fast to make up for the lost time and is making sweeping changes. What are the most impactful decisions so far, in your view?
I agree that the first weeks were really difficult and demanding for the new government. But I have the impression that Tusk showed the new style, style in which he wants to rule. And this week will determine the entire time. But several key decisions have been made, in fact. And in my opinion, I think that, first of all, we should underline the government adopted the budget. It was extremely important, and we know that the process was really complex. So this is the first point. Secondly, they planned to maintain the social programs and pay raises for teachers. I think that this is extremely important because Prime Minister shows that he will take into account the voters' opinion. He will take also into consideration their needs and expectation. So they want to will implement the promises which can be implemented very quickly and at the beginning of the government. It's important also.
So he's delivering on his promises.
Absolutely, yes. This is extremely important, and I think that this thing will be crucial for this government also. I think that the very good decision, a good move, was related to important action in the field of relations with European Union for many years, reasons. Finally, I think that despite of legal doubts, I believe that the action related to public media was good because law and justice have lost important resources, political resources. And we should remember that Tusk's goal is also to weaken the political position of law and justice. So I think that it was also a good decision. And now we observe processes of organization of the prosecutor's office. And when we take into consideration the law situation in Poland, I think that this is also a very good decision. What more? I think that maybe we should add here also establishing investigative commission. It is also a good move.
Parliamentary commissions.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that abuse of power should be reviewed by these committees. And from my point of view, this is important for two reasons. First of all, due to the quality of democracy and success of our process of re-democratization, in fact, we should do this. The government should do this. And maybe it is important to add here that a large part of Europe is looking at us, hoping that the process of redemocratization will be succeed. So that's why I think that this is very important. Secondly, simple justice required it. And thirdly, last but not least, people expect that law and justice abuse of power will be review.
So, this is very interesting. What, if I may interrupt you here, because this is very interesting, because you know, it seems Poland has a tradition of being first with different things. So it was the first country to have an independent trade union during the Soviet times in the entire Soviet bloc. It was the first to have a non-communist government after communism collapsed, and it was also the first really country in Europe that in the European Union that actually adopted a sort of illiberal stance to the point that it was the first country against which the Article 7 of the EU treaty was triggered for violations of the treaty, of the European treaty of European values. Hungary joined only later, after Poland. And now it seems Poland is again a frontier country, if you will, being the first trying to restore the rule of law.
Absolutely agree. I think that we have, in fact, the new changes in our political history, because again, as you said, we can possibility to be, let's say, good example for other country, because we know that not only Poland have that kind of problem with populism and authoritarianism. So yeah, we have one more time, very important moments for in our history. Yeah, I totally agree.
But law and justice is responding to all of this, saying, you know, Tusk in fact is acting not democratically. In fact, he is abusing the law. He calls, you know, law and justice has been defending the two former ministers sent to jail for past abuses of power, political prisoners, and they're going abroad and sort of making pleas to Western leaders to help them protect democracy in Poland. You know, what do you make of that?
Yeah, this is true. I have impression that now. Of course, the new government has a serious task rebuilding democracy. And this is very interesting that Tusk did not allow himself to drawn into this law and justice, let's say, historical game, because he, on the one side, he tried to tactically withdraw from the situation in which the courts, police, as in case of Wąsik and Kamiński, have their field of action. Mm-hmm. But generally, peace makes strategy really emotional, and as you said, they try to be on the one side anti-European Union because the messages are very clear here. But the other hand, as you said, law and justice. I don't know, President Marszałek Elżbieta Witek try to looking for support in European Union. Yeah, this is very interesting, but I think that today Kaczyński, Tusk has a very strong message for Kaczyński. I mean, Tusk has shown over the last few weeks that he will not back down, is not afraid of the confrontation, and is prepared for various scenarios. So he knows that, Tusk knows that he has trust among the voters and the media, and I have impression that now he uses the time very, very effectively. And I'm not sure that you agree with me, but I have impression again that this attitude totally, completely surprised Jarosław Kaczyński. And I think that Kaczyński sees that Tusk is playing really hard. He understands this game very well. And the idea that Tusk will be effective terrifies Kaczyński very much. That's why law and justice attack and try to disrupt the government's work. Tusk's prime minister effectiveness is the worst news for law and justice now. And this is the reason why they take that strategy and tactics.
So, you know, how is it going to play out? What will happen next? We know that from the point of view of, for example, gaining EU money, the frozen funds, Poland was supposed to pass reforms in the broad rule of law area. And President Duda, who is allied with Law and Justice, has signaled that he may veto any attempts to meet the EU requirements. So that may leave the government in a limbo. At the same time, there are elections, first local elections in April, and then the European election in June. So in a sense, it creates an environment in which this polarization and turmoil is likely to stay. So what's coming for Poland?
Oh, this is very important question and difficult in the same time. I think that, first of all, Law and Justice is still very emotional voters, retain voters also. And I think that now Law and Justice will have such strategy, as we can observe, because they, in fact, they don't have no choice. They have no choice. They want competition. They want don't want have competition on the right side of the political science. So this is the first reason why they will be very strong in the message. Besides, because they want to maintain support before the election winter spring, they try to be anti-European, anti-immigrants, and that kind of slogans, in fact, feel Law and Justice lack of long-term ideas. So I don't know if you agree with me, but I have observation that today Law and Justice copies, in fact, civic platform slogans and messages for the opposite period. And Law and Justice now, before the election springs, have two main goals, in my opinion. First of all, they want to make Tusk action more difficultly by making parliamentary work more difficult. In the face of a lot of commission of inquiry accusing the new government of breaking the law, they try to reduce the tension among their voters, because which may trigger information about, for example, multiple abuses that will probably appear in the media shortly. And Law and Justice wants to reinforce the message that every government breaks the law and every government violates the constitution. And that situation, that, let's say, communication strategy is very good for Tusk and the new government. And of course, Tusk government.
Why is that? Why is it good for the you know, why is it good for Tusk and his government?
Now, Law and Justice are extremely emotional, and Tusk have new image. I mean, they they guarantee peace. They are new government are extremely effectiveness now. So this is the reason why. Of course, people like emotion in politics, but at the end of the day, they want to stabilization. And now Tusk and his new governments have opportunity to give the stability. That's why I think that in the long term, the strategy of law and justice is rather not so very useful for them. But now the government, the new governments, have still great support, and this is very good moments for this this government. The longer the opposition destabilizes the government's works, the longer the honeymoon will be for the new government.
And so, in other words, the fact that Law and Justice is playing this very uncompromising game and sort of making these wild accusations that works to Tusk's advantage, in a sense?
Yeah, definitely yes. Definitely yes. And I think that...
But isn't there a risk that the level of emotion is going to be so high that for some polls, for moderate voters, for those in the middle, this will be too much, and they will sort of decide that it's a sort of tribal war between two parties, and therefore they will just turn away, you know. I mean, Poland had this fantastic turnout in the last election. 74% of eligible voters showed up. Are we going to see, for example, that some people will stay home now because they just don't like this level of emotion?
Of course, we know from different kind of research that this is some kind of risk of that. But on the other hand, I think that we are in very difficult situation in Poland, and very specific. And I think the new government will have still, let's say, electoral bonus after the October in the next spring election. So I think that people still feel that something very important happened. And that's why I think that even if the emotion will be really high, people rather will be much more motivated to go to vote. But of course, the question here is about the local election and the results, because I think that, as I said, new government, there will be, let's say, they have additional bonus after the parliamentary campaign, but Law and Justice have chosen a very risk strategy, especially in the long run. So I think that the local election will be pretty tricky for peace. Especially that the next month will have influence, let's say, for their position and electoral effect in upcoming elections. So you mean
all these investigations, revelations of abuses of power, financial transfers to party faithful from state coffers, this will all weigh on their electoral chances?
I have any doubt that will be very difficult time for Law and Justice, not only because of the results of election, but also because of the internal tensions. I think that will be a huge challenge for Law and Justice. So
is there a possibility that, let's say, if the party fails to gain in the local elections or suffers a significant setback in those local elections, can Law and Justice break up?
This is a good question, because this is the question, in fact, about the future of the Law and Justice. And I think that we have here two scenarios. I mean, in the first thing, probably Law and Justice think about their leaders, think about some kind of transformation. We will see what changes after the Ziobro back, because we know that Suwerenna Polska is also in this team. So here's the first point. And the other one, the question is what about or after the Kaczyński period of be a leader of Law and Justice. So this is the main question. But I think now that the strategy, what we can observe, is extremely risk for Law and Justice in the long term. So maybe Kaczyński today is in the curse to marginalize the Law and Justice in the future.
Finally, you know, the big question really is, if you sort of step back and take a helicopter view, you could say that, you know, for 8 years Poland was sort of on an experiment towards more autocratic form of government, you know, semi-consolidated democracy, as the Freedom House ranking calls it, and obviously there was a voter backlash against that, clearly demonstrated by the high turnout in the election. What is the likelihood that this is a temporary relief and that Poland will again slide back towards the authoritarian tendency? Or do you think this experiment is now over, and whatever happens, even if there is a swing, political swing this or that way, ultimately democracy has sort of survived this experiment and is now more resilient?
Yeah, we survived. I think we in October, it was the most important election after 1989, and our democracy survived. But it doesn't mean that we, let's say, we will not have any more problem. And here, I think that this is very important what we can now observe in United States, because the example of United States shows that populism needs to be thoroughly cleaned up, because it can be reborn. So in fact, we have the same situation in Poland. That's why now the situation is extremely important, and Tusk has a great task here, because we have to remember that we can enter a spiral of populism. Depends on what conclusions politicians, media, and society have drawn, in fact, from the last 8 years. So we should remember that here, populism is still doing well in the world. I mean, the war in Ukraine, climate changes, immigration, fear for the future. This is the ground in which populists feel good. So this is the reason that in the times of needs for a quick, simple solution to a problem is always high. So populism in that situation feel very good. This is the reason why we should be maybe not pessimistic, but realistic if we take into consideration our future. This is the reason why the let's say, we have to start struggling with our quality of our democratization, redemocratization now. I think that populism is, of course, not dead. By the way, Timothy Snyder, in very, very good interview with Sam Harris, told that in every society are people with anti-democratic tendency, but that people vote for the same kind of politicians. So I think that this is especially much more problematic in post-communism country with post-communism experience. This is the reason why, of course, we will, on the other hand, we will should be optimistic. But on the other hand, I think that we will strictly focus on our future, our democracy, but populism is still very, very good condition all over the world. I think that we should add here, United States, very important election this year. Many countries in European Union also. So yes, we are example of redemocratization, but it will be a long process and very, very demanding.
Barbara, thank you very much for your comments. It was a pleasure having you on our program. And fingers crossed for Polish democracy.
Yeah, this is true. Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.